Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Combos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we're talking to Heather McLean, who just made it to Tokyo in the 1500 meters. This is actually the first time I've ever talked to Heather, and I have heard so many good stories about her background with running and how she got her start and how hard of a worker she was. And honestly, after recording this episode, I would say that she's one of the hardest working runners I've ever met in my life. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, learned something that you didn't know about Heather, and I know we will all be rooting for her in the Olympics, so stay tuned. You guys know I say it in every episode, but it would mean the world to me if you rated and reviewed on Apple Podcasts. It's a super quick and free way to support the podcast, and it helps me out so much. And it helps you guys out too, because it helps establish credibility for the podcast. That means higher profile guests will be able to see that you guys love the podcast, and they'll want to come on and answer your listener questions. So I always appreciate any reviews I get. I read them at the end of the week, and it means so much to me. It really helps keep me going, especially because I'm a team of one over here, so I love just getting those little encouraging comments from you guys that you love the podcast. It means so much to me. So again, thanks for listening. Just love all of your support always. And yeah, you fellas are literally the best. Today's episode is brought to you by Inside Tracker. When you do what you love, like running, like racing, like enjoying the great outdoors, you want to do it for life. Inside Tracker can help. Inside Tracker was founded in 2009 by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics. Using their patented algorithm, Inside Tracker analyzes your body's data to provide you with a clear picture of what's going on inside you and to offer you science-backed recommendations for positive diet and lifestyle changes. I absolutely love Inside Tracker. I've been using it for the past couple months now, and like I said in the last episode, my cortisol is finally down, but my vitamin D is still low. So I now am taking supplements and making sure I get outside more every single day, especially during the summertime. I love Inside Tracker. I honestly would have no idea what to do and also what my blood work would look like without Inside Tracker. So I'll highly recommend this service. It's seriously amazing for any runner or honestly any just person who wants to feel better each day. Inside Tracker tracks your progress every day, every step of the way towards reaching your performance goals and living a longer, healthier life. So if you guys are interested, for a limited time, you can get 25% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Just go to insidetracker.com/Emma. That's insidetracker.com/Emma. Highly recommend you go give it a try. Now let's get straight into the episode. Heather, I'm excited to have you on. First of all, congratulations on qualifying to the Olympics. How are we feeling?
Thank you. Feeling great. Just really excited and happy and yeah, just pumped about it.
So to start off the episode, do you want to just give us like a little bit of a rundown of who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, sure. I'm Heather McLean. I'm a 1500 meter, 800 meter runner for New Balance. I run for Team New Balance Boston. So I live out in Boston. I went to UMass Amherst undergrad and for my master's, and yeah, now I'm just doing this thing full time.
did you expect yourself to become a professional runner?
Oh no, not at all. There's like, I never predicted that. I mean, you couldn't have asked me what I always see these things of like runners, professional runners putting in their like fifth grade yearbook. What did you want to be when you grow up? And they're always like an Olympian, like a professional runner. I'm like, I had no clue what either of those things were. I probably put the dumbest thing, like, oh, like I want to be an astronaut, or maybe I guess that's not dumb, but I definitely didn't put anything like that because I didn't know it was profession. Like I honestly didn't know it was profession till like a few years ago. So yeah, definitely didn't predict it, but obviously really happy that it happened and excited to be a part of it now.
Yeah, now you're at the highest level, so that's pretty impressive. Did not know about it.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, now I'll be able to go to the Olympics, but we'll get more into that. I want to hear your whole running story, but let's go through the 1500 at the trial.
Got it.
So yeah, I feel like people were kind of calling you an underdog, but honestly, I would not say that you were an underdog in that race, because you had like a phenomenal indoor season where I feel like that kind of put you on the map, at least in my eyes. Like mm-hmm. you, like the indoor season just really, like, I don't know, put you in the contention to make the team. But how are you feeling going into the race? Did you like fully believe that you could make the team, or was it just kind of like a shock?
I mean, it wasn't a shock because obviously I've been training for it like the last few years, and I've worked this year particularly on really trying to make myself believe that I'm capable of making the team. And, you know, people, manifestation and like law of attraction is like the big thing right now. But I really feel like that's something that I really did to like make the team. Whether that sounds witchy or not, I am a witch. Oh, well, but like I needed to do that for myself to make myself believe that I was capable of doing it. You know, there's always like the given people to kind of make the team who are always kind of expected. But then there's the people who aren't really expected. And sometimes I almost feel like it's harder to be in that position because you don't have the pressure of like having to make the team. But because you don't have that pressure, like you're not, you know, pressure makes diamonds, you know, kind of like for yourself. And a lot of the people who were closest with me, like you were saying, like knew how well I was progressing and how well I was training and everything. So I kind of enjoyed that. A lot of people didn't think that I was capable of doing it because a little bit more full for me. And like, I've always kind of operated that way. But I also knew like down that I knew I was capable of doing it. Like if everyone was like thinking Ellie was going to make it, I'm like doing all these great workouts with her as well. And so I'm like, okay, if she's like kind of a given to make this team, like, why can't I have like a good shot at it? You know? So yeah, I guess like the last few years I've kind of just been a little bit, you know, telling myself every day that I'm capable of making it and that I can make it. And I didn't ever talk about really making it with, but deep down, like I would tell myself that I could make it. And I think that definitely really helped like change the perspective so that when it was all said and done and I was there, and I had to like make the choice, you know, that last lap of the 1500, whether I was going to like go for it or whether I was going to sit content in the position that I was in, it really gave me that extra push to be like, hey, this is what you've been dreaming about for however long now. And yeah, this is really your chance to go after it. So like, why don't you just go and make your dreams come true? And yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I think you said it really well. Like, it's good to not have that like insane pressure of on the starting line where it like can make you crumble, where you like feel mm-hmm. Feel like the outward pressure that everyone expects you to make it. But also it's nice to have that because then it's already ingrained into you when you get to the starting line that you have to make it and there is no other option. When like, I guess if you're, if you're more on the cusp, it's like, you have to believe in yourself. You don't have as many people like expecting you to make it on the day. I feel like it's kind of hard to explain, but I completely understand.
Yeah, like I remember looking at, obviously like every account, like running account had their like pre-race predictions. And I remember I wasn't in anyone's pre-races predictions. I was like, eh, whatever. Like, I'm not that insulted. Like, I wouldn't choose me either, I guess. But it was just like kind of funny that, yeah. And so obviously, like, that also caused backlash because, like, because I wasn't in anybody's pre-race. Oh, she got in on pure luck, like blah blah blah. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, okay, well,
I know. Yeah, there's whatever,
there will always be haters for people's success.
Exactly, haters are the motivators, am I right?
Yeah, there you go. At what point in the race did you know that you were gonna make it?
Probably like not till like the last like 150. I think like I passed like the third place at the last 150. And I was honestly like blacking out the last lap. So people kept asking me like, oh, what were your thoughts in your head? I'm like, I had absolutely no thoughts. Like only thought I had the last lap was, I literally was crossing to go to the last lap. I heard the bell ring or whatever. And I was like, pretend this is a 4x4. And so I just start like sprinting for dear life. And because I was sprinting for dear life, I'm like blacking out. I don't know anything that's going on. And so I couldn't hear anybody yelling at me on the side. So I didn't even know like what position I was in. Like I hadn't realized like I passed enough people or whatever. I just knew I was like gunning for it. So yeah, like it was honestly a shock, like right when I finished, because I feel like I was like waking up from a blackout.
Yeah, like you crossed, I just watched the video of the finish, and it, you like crossed the line and it looked like you didn't know that you made it.
I literally had no clue. I don't know why I didn't know. Like I just,
it was like a clear third
doing the
place.
Map in my head. Yeah.
So, and you're like looking up at the clock, you're like, did I make it?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, in doubt it. Or something. Yeah, it was bizarre, but I mean, I made it and I obviously was really excited and
yeah.
It just was like, oh, in that moment, I'm like, dang, like I've really been telling myself I could make it for all this time. And here I am, like, I just made it. So like, what now?
Yeah, you celebrate, you're like, all right, what next?
Yeah, I was like so in shock from it that I like woke up the next day. I was like, I like couldn't even fall asleep that night. And I woke up the next day, I'm like, what is going on? Like,
yeah.
Ellie like had texted me something like, good morning, Olympian. Like, or something like that, and I was like, whoa, like this is weird, like yeah. I feel like I'm in an alternate universe.
Yeah, it's, and it's crazy because it's like if you manifest it, like you think about it for so long, but then when it actually happens, I feel like it just kind of like, whoa.
Exactly. Yeah, like I have been writing it in my gratitude journal literally every single day for the last year, and like I remember like I really started wanting it really badly probably like 2 indoors ago, and then when the Olympics got canceled last year, I remember thinking to myself, okay, this is awful that they got canceled, like I won't get that shot this year, but at the same time I think that honestly this gives me a better shot for next year, because I was pretty developmental at that point, and like I would say I'm still like pretty developmental, like I'm still learning a lot about the sport and how to like race these like tough races and be competitive and believe in myself and everything. So I knew that it definitely gave me a better shot.
Yeah.
To have that extra year of training and everything.
Yeah. I'm really curious to hear about your story, because I don't really know much about it. And everyone kept telling me like, so inspirational. So I'm excited to hear.
Oh, dang. I didn't know I was that inspirational.
Yeah. I mean, you must be. You have a lot of influence over people, because everyone was like,
oh,
she has to tell her running story. It's crazy. I'm like, all right.
Oh, is it?
I don't know, but let's hear it. How did you get into the sport, and like take us through, I guess, your progression?
Yeah. So, I mean, I always knew I was fast, like since I was younger. My mom always says, my little brothers will say it too. Like we played manhunt. Like when we were younger, our whole neighborhood would play. And I have 7 siblings. I have 4 brothers. So, you know, I was pretty competitive with them. And my brother, I remember the first thing he said to me after I made the team was like, yeah, you know, I always knew you were going to do something with that running. Cause when we played manhunt, like no one was catching you if you ran away or whatever. Cause I would just like bolt. And so I knew I like was speedy, but I didn't know anything that I could do with it. I was just like, oh, this is a fun like party trick, you know, like you're fast, like you can race the boys and like make them feel like crap because you just beat them. And I just thought it was like fun because I had brothers and I was like faster than them, you know. But I didn't really know like the sport of track and field until I was older. And my sister, my younger sister, she did cross country in middle school. She was pretty good at it, but she had like pretty severe asthma, so it was really funny. She would carry her inhaler while she was racing, and then like as soon as she was done racing always had an asthma attack. Like it was so dramatic.
That sounds
and
awful.
I remember like watching me like, ooh, I don't want to do that, like, and I have asthma too, so I was like, ooh, like I don't want to be in that position. So I remember like maybe my freshman or sophomore year I like joined the team for like 2 or 3 days because my friends joined it, and then I like stopped going to practice or whatever. So I was pretty much like a NARP for most of high school. Like I definitely always like grew up on sports and like doing sports and everything. But I mean, I have a family, I have a ton of children. So it wasn't that realistic to do an after school activity, because either I was like going home and helping my mom out, or like I didn't have a ride home from school and the late bus like came before sports ended. So it was like, oh, you can walk 3 miles home from school. Or you could just go take the regular bus and like not do an after school activity. So it just wasn't that realistic for me. And I didn't want to put in the effort of like figuring out how I was going to get like to and from practices and how I was going to like afford whatever came with doing a sport. And it was just a lot of stress for me that I like didn't want to put much thought into. So it wasn't until like my junior year that I committed to doing track, but that was because like my best friend from high school had joined the team and we worked at the grocery, like the local grocery store together after school every day. So I was like, okay, this is perfect. Like she's doing the team, so I'm going to do the team because she's my ride home from school every day anyway. And like, we can just like ride home from school to Market Basket after, like, which is where we worked. And so, yeah, I stuck with it, like mostly because of her in the beginning. And then like, I just loved like the team aspect of things, you know, me and my siblings, like always talk about how we're kind of like drifters because we drift in between groups of people. Like I never had like that one group of high school friends that everyone is still in contact and we talk every day, or like I never had that. I was always part of like multiple groups of people from multiple cities, and because I moved around a lot most of my life, and I always had like friends all over kind of deal, instead of just like having this like one set group of friends. And the first time I ever found that in my life was like when I joined the track team. And I remember becoming like so close with him, and everyone was looking out for each other. And like my coach, as soon as I started like doing really well, like he's like, you need to keep doing this sport. Like you need to keep doing this sport. And he was also a teacher at the school. So like, if I didn't come to practice one day, he would like hunt me down in the hallway and be like, where were you? So, you know, that little fear factor definitely like helped as well. And I definitely needed that. And it wasn't like I wasn't committed in any way or anything. It was just, like I said, it was hard to find out the logistics of things because I didn't have like most of the time, like my mom was taking care of my other siblings or something. So it was hard for me to like get a ride to and from practice. So it was easier for me to just like not go to practice if I didn't have a ride home than it was to like ask somebody for a ride home, because I felt nervous about that. So yeah, I like stuck with it, and then I started doing really well, and I was really excited about it. Like it was like the first time in my life I had had something like that. And so by the end of my junior year, I had a really great girl, Providence, amazing athlete. So she was super inspirational in the same year as me and everything. And she was getting recruited by all these colleges, which ended up coming to my benefit because like my coach, who at the time from high school, would tell the colleges like also about me because I was the same year. So colleges started to reach out to me. And I like had always known I wanted to go to college and everything. And I was a really good student in school. Like that's something I always had. Like I was always a great student, but I just didn't have like the funds of like affording a college. So like most of the people that were in my position, you know, go to the community college for a few years and see if they can afford like a 4-year college. So I hadn't really put much thought into it, but I figured that's probably something I would do. And so like the opportunity to get a scholarship to college was life-changing because I had never even heard about that before. Like I didn't even know anything about it or anything about like applying to colleges or what kind of colleges to apply to. I just had absolutely no information. And like I said, like I was really, I wasn't shy, but I didn't like asking people questions because I didn't want to seem like I didn't know anything, or like I didn't want people to look at me weird because I didn't know the answers to these questions. So I'd always try to figure stuff out on my own, which is not always that helpful when you're that age. So it was really helpful that like all these schools would reach out to me, and I would talk to the coaches, and they would kind of like give me the rundown of everything and how everything works. And so, yeah, I sorted that out, and I ended up like getting offered a like partial scholarship to UMass, which was like the state university in Massachusetts. And it's a really good school. And I remember on my visit, I really liked the academic programs, like loved the campus. Also, they have the number one dining in the country, and I'm a big foodie. So I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to go to the school with the number one dining. Yeah, I was like world champs in dining. Sure, I'll take it. And yeah, and I really liked the coach and the team and everything. And the girls on the team, I was an 800 meter runner at the time. And there was a lot of really great 800 meter runners. And that really was inspiring to me. And I knew that they'd make me better and everything. So yeah, I chose to go there. And yeah, like, you know, ran through college, had a lot of injuries, and not injuries, but I had a lot of like health issues. Like I got pneumonia a lot. It was really random. Like I would just like, I don't know why I would always get like pneumonia. And my roommates like honestly thought it was so funny because I would like get pneumonia and have to get like a nebulizer, and it was so embarrassing. Like I'd be like in my room, I would call it vaping. I'd be like, oh, I have to like go vape and like and just go on my nebulizer treatment. Like I felt like a child, but it would always happen. Like it was so awful. Like I would get this horrible pneumonia, and then I would go through waves because I would get prescribed prednisone to like help with the pneumonia to clear my lungs. And prednisone like makes you crazy. So I'd like go through this bout where I was psychotic, and they're like, oh, Heather's just like on the prednisone again. So it was just like a whole bit, but
that sounds awful.
I know. So it happened like a few times, and it just like ruined a few seasons for me, which was awful. But I mean, like knock on air, like I haven't gotten sick like that since college, and I hope not to get sick like that like ever again.
So wait, what do you think was causing it?
So I think it was like a mix of stress, because I was going through like a lot of stressful personal stuff at the time, and not getting enough sleep. Like I didn't really, it was weird because I did research on sleep like most of college. Like I was in a research lab on like a neuroscience research lab, and I studied sleep in student athletes particularly. But like I would learn all this stuff about sleep and like not listen to my own advice. I'd be like telling the team, like, you guys need to like get sleep every night. And like, meanwhile, I'm like up till 3 a.m. like doing stupid shit. So I wasn't sleeping enough. Like I was really stressed a lot. I had like way too much on my plate. And like at the same time, you know, you're training as a full-time athlete. I worked all of college, and I was also in school. So like it was just a lot, and there was never enough time in the day. And like I would get FOMO from like not doing enough. So like I would always want to be doing something, and I didn't know like the meaning of just chilling. So like because of that, it took its toll on my health for sure. And yeah, so it just like caused me to get sick all the time. And so like I would go a few months being healthy, and then all of a sudden I'd get a cough, and it would turn into bronchitis, and then it would turn into like walking pneumonia. And then that would keep me out for like 2 or 3 months. So I never could train properly. Like I never had a base. And
yeah,
I wasn't training that much to begin with. Like I only ran like 30 miles a week in college. So building that, like if I can't even run 30 miles a week, then, you know, you have absolutely no base.
Yeah. And like so, consistency is the most important part of being a successful athlete. So
exactly. Yeah. And like, I never had those like multiple years of like healthy training, and like I would be able to make it through the season usually, but by the time it came to like regionals or like NCAAs and everything, like I was pretty toast because I had no base. So I just wasn't strong enough. So yeah, it wasn't until like after college that like those kind of life stressors just went away.
Yeah.
And like, even now I struggle with it because I get so bored, you know, like I feel like I need to like be starting some like organization or something. Like I'm not doing enough because yeah, I did well, so
it must be such a difference from like working, going to school and running, because I could not imagine having a job on top of being like a full-time student athlete that travels year round for cross country track, indoor track and outdoor track. So going from that to being a pro runner, which most of the pro runners I know are get bored easily because you can only run so much in the day and do so many rolling sessions. So that just has to be crazy, but also probably much better for your stress levels, because
oh my gosh. Yeah. Tremendously better. Like I can sleep now, obviously.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I can take the time now to like do the little things, you know, like stretch or sleep, obviously, like make sure I'm drinking enough water, like little things like that I just wasn't really paying attention to before. I was kind of just like going through the motions. Like I would say most of college I was like just going through the motions because like all this stuff was happening around me and like I was a part of it, but at the same time like it was just a lot for like a 20-year-old to handle. And so I was kind of just like operating day by day, whereas now like I have all this time on my hands, so I can actually, and I don't have like people to take care of or like school to take care of or a job to take care of. It's just like I'm taking care of just myself, and like it's really great, honestly. And
yeah,
I can be like, oh, okay, well, like why don't I start like working on goals, like instead of like just going day to day and trying to like get through each day, you know? Like I have like plans for like this amount of time, you know? Like everyone always has those interview questions like your 5 to 10 year plans, and like now I have one of those.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a lot of a different, and like, it's made me a really different person from it, just because I can like commit more to thinking about those things and how I'm gonna approach them and tackle them.
Today's episode is brought to you by Organifi.
Organifi is a line of organic superfood blends that offer plant-based nutrition with high-quality ingredients and less than 3 grams of sugar. Each superfood blend is really easy to use. Just simply mix it with water or your favorite beverage while on the go, and it provides you with quality nutrition throughout your day. They also strive to keep prices as low as possible, so it's less than $3 a day. Organifi is literally my latest obsession. I've been using all of their products every single day of the week. Okay, I talked about in the last episode how I've been using the red juice and the green juice every day, which I've still been doing. Lately, I've been using their Complete Protein. It's an organic vegan protein powder and multivitamin with digestive enzymes. 20 grams of protein all in one delicious, easy to mix shake. Fun fact, it contains half the daily recommended value of selenium, vitamin C, D, E, A, thiamine, and 35% of your daily iron. These vitamins are all from Whole Foods, so it's made with pea proteins, quinoa, pumpkin seed, coconut, vanilla bean, and digestive enzymes. And honestly, the flavor is absolutely immaculate. Highly recommend. I've been adding it to my oatmeal every morning or to my protein shakes after my workout. If you guys want to check out Organifi, highly recommend. Just go to www.organifi.com/coldbrew for 20% off all products. That is www.organifi.com/coldbrew, or you can head to their site and use code coldbrew for 20% off, and you'll get 20% off all products. So highly recommend you go check them out, especially the protein and the red juice and the green juice. Love it. And let's get back into the episode.
Is there anything that you would change about your college experience, like the way you approached it, or was it just what had to be like done in the situation?
Everyone always says everything happens for a reason. That's pretty cliche, but I think that everything does happen for a reason. And I think that having that college experience definitely helped me because it really set me up for my future. Like, I know a lot of the things that I'm really passionate about because I took the time to invest in figuring out like what my passions were, like what my purpose is, you know, after sport, like, and including sport. Who knows like what would have happened like later down the line. Like, maybe I'd be burnt out by now. Like, if I had ran at a different program or kind of like overwhelmed myself with just focusing on sport. Like, I'm the type of person who definitely, I love the sport of track and field. I'm definitely a fan as well as like a participant, but at the same time, I think I have a personality outside of it, you know, and I've really gotten to explore that over the years. And I think that being part of the college experience that I had was like exploring that and figuring out like what things I'm passionate about outside of the sport. So yeah, I mean obviously there's things that I wish didn't happen, but like at the same time I can't change that they did, and I'm thankful that they did in a way, because from each lesson that I learned, like I've really gotten to take something out of it and bring it with me later in life. So yeah.
What are some of your passions outside of running?
What do we start with? Like,
okay, that's great though. That's a good place to be in, because a lot of people, like, I mean, I didn't explore really anything outside of running. So I think like you said, you're setting yourself up for life after sport, which is going to be the majority of people's lives. So yeah, anyway.
Well, like a lot of the stuff I studied in college, were kind of like around my college experience and like how difficult it was for me to learn about college in general. So I'm really passionate about like equal access to education and how to make education for first generation students more accessible and how to get more students into colleges, because really like going to a four-year institution or even getting like a degree in general can really transform somebody's life and take them out of a cycle of poverty or like a cycle of a situation that they are in that's at a disadvantage to them. And I think that education can really transform somebody's life. And so I was really passionate about that. Like, that's what I studied in my master's program. And I definitely like am passionate about hopefully like going back to that later in life, or at least like educating people on how to work with students who are in that position and don't really have that support that a lot of students do have. Like, I think that's a common misconception, is that like, oh, you can just ask for help. But like, I didn't ask for help. So I know there's 100 students in my position who also are afraid to ask for help. So like, how can we provide resources that allow them to like figure it out via those resources and stuff like that? So that's just like one of my passions. But obviously, like, I have other things, you know, I'm like really passionate about Title IX and equality between the genders of sport, you know, male versus female or women and male, and athletics and institutions, and how to make like sports less focused on trickle down economics and like more focused on creating like a holistic experience for student athletes and preparing them for their futures. Cause you know, everyone sees the statistics, like only like less than 1% of those student athletes that are Division I are going pro. So like, what are we doing for the other 99%? And how are we setting them up for a future that they're going to be successful? And you hear so many stories of student athletes who leave their sport and they go through these like this period of time where they feel lost and don't really know where they're going next in life. Like even like creating a workout plan. Like I remember, you know, in college we had like lift twice a week and we knew we were running every day, but like, I couldn't imagine if I wasn't running now, like what I would be doing, because I have no idea how to create like a sustainable workout plan. And I just feel like that's something that, you know, as student athletes, like athletic departments have the resources to teach those skills for the student athlete after sport. Like you need to, I feel like they need to do more about it, because then sometimes student athletes, like they come out of their sport and they're either so burnt out or they feel like they have unfinished business and they haven't really resolved that either. And there's not really any resources for them, like as soon as they leave the institution. So just like, yeah, providing resources for student athletes, like set them up for a better future and stuff like that. But yeah, I have like a ton of little things I like to read about and I still keep up to date with that I studied in college and everything. And yeah, it makes me excited for like, because I still learn a lot about it now by still being in athletics, especially like at the professional level. Cause you hear like, for instance, you know, we just saw that that law got passed that student athletes can capitalize on their name and image now, which I think is great. And yeah, it's just interesting to see like all the changes and you know, I feel like the wheels always get turning for me where I'm like, oh, like connecting all the dots here and there. And I think that part of that is just like, I spent a lot of time studying it and building like excitement around it, just like I do around like the sport. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I really liked the idea of having something for post-college athletes. That is something that like, I am kind of baffled that that's not already a thing, or no one is addressing life after college athletics. Like, why is no one helping anyone with the transition? It's like one track mind, like you're only thinking about the 4 years and then like, okay, let's get you like, so that you're passing your classes and then you get your degree and then bye forever. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Especially because like, I mean, they tell you this when you're in college, but athletes, student athletes are some of the most sought out employees out of like all these people that are graduating from college. But student athletes don't know it because they don't know what skills that they have that are like, you always get the cliche, like same explanation. Oh, you're really great with teamwork and yeah, you're really driven.
Teamwork.
Like, yeah. Employers love student athletes, but like, that's easy to say, but like, how can you make the student athlete know and apply those skills like in the workforce? And I feel like that's the piece that's really missing in a lot of institutions, as well as like how to make, you know, it's not just about like going straight. It's not just the pipeline from becoming a student athlete full-time to becoming a worker full-time. Like, how do you make the student athlete become a worker full-time, but also enjoy their life and know that like work isn't like athletics. Like so many student athletes spent so many years of their life focusing like tunnel vision on their athletic performance. Like, how do you go into the workforce with like a healthier mindset and maybe not think like everything's so competitive, and like live a healthy lifestyle, you know?
Cause
you get to the workforce and you're working, you know, sometimes people come accountants or whatever, they're working like 90 hours a week. They don't have time for a workout regimen. Like they're not really eating well because they only focused on doing that stuff. Like while they were a full-time athlete and they don't really know how to do it, like with this other half of their life. So even like small skills like that. And I feel like those pieces of college athletic departments, and a lot of them are really missing. Like there's a lot of schools who are doing like great things, and I've read so many awesome programming that's going on, but there's also like a lot of schools that aren't doing as much and that could definitely be doing more. And I think that really comes from governance from the NCAA and making sure that those schools are providing student athletes with the resources that they need to succeed outside of college.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, yeah, like you said, beyond the workforce too, like finding a healthy exercise regimen is something that I think, I mean, basically every student athlete I've talked to after college is like, either they don't work out at all, or it's like, they just go to another extreme, you know, because it's like, yeah. You don't know how to be a normal person or just like eating. It's like, for me, I know I did not know how to eat as like a normal person because I've only eaten as like a runner who's running 50 plus miles a week year round, you know? So it's just
exactly.
Not that like someone has to teach me how to like put a fork to my mouth, but like.
But it would be helpful.
but it would be helpful to know what normal people do. Cause like, I didn't know. So
yeah,
I really like that idea. And I mean, you seem like you've done a lot more research than I have. I just am experiencing myself. So
yeah, I mean, exactly. You're the one who's like living it right now, you know, like that's all the research you need.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's like millions of other student athletes that have been in the same exact position. And like, how do you fix that from like an athletic department standpoint? And like, why aren't you fixing it? Like, you're investing all this money into like these silly things for, you know, one or two teams on campus when you could be like investing in the long-term health of the student athletes.
Yeah, exactly. I think it just depends from school to school what their priority is.
Yeah.
If we're planning on winning teams and that's all, are they winning NCAAs and like championships? Then
I can see them
not wanting to put on the focus on the future, but it would be nice, you know?
Yeah, it would be real great.
It would be real great if someone considered that. But what did you study in college?
So undergrad, I studied psychology. I had a minor in education and economics. And then I had a fifth year, so I started a grad program at UMass in higher ed administration with a focus in sports administration.
Nice. Well, that will set you up well, it seems like, for your passions.
I know. Yeah, I know. It worked out perfectly. Like, I worked in student success, like my first year of my master's program, like creating like a system to create, like it was like a hands-on system that allow students to be flagged early on if like they're not doing as well in classes and how to help them, especially if the student is like first generation or is like slipping like their first semester in college, and how to provide them with resources so that they can continue on instead of dropping out. Because, you know, retention rates at people don't really talk about like the retention rates among these students who come from disadvantaged backgrounds and how like, yeah, you can get them to campus, but like, what are you doing for them once they're there? And then my second year, I got to work in the athletic department. And that's when I like really started like getting fired up about all this stuff. Cause like, you're seeing it all from the inside out and like how everything operates. And obviously it's a more complex than I ever understood, you know, like when you're a student athlete, you're like, oh, why isn't the athletic department doing this? And then you understand like from a budgetary standpoint, like they can't afford that because like they're a state school and it comes from this system and like this pot of money. And yeah, so it was just really good experience. Like, it was fun to see the other side of things, and it's given me a lot of perspective on like, A, what things like I hope change in the future, but B, like how things operate that I didn't understand before, and like how grateful I am for like how much athletic departments do for student athletes as well, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is kind of not really a tangent, but, how did you like end up going professional? Like, how good were you in college, and when did you know that like becoming a professional runner was going to be an option?
So in college, like I was good for like New England in A10, but my college team, like we were Division I, but we didn't, like our focus was never really NCAAs, you know, like our focus was always like doing well at that like A10 championship. And I think that like it's different for schools who like focus is always NCAAs, because then the student athletes are like always looking towards that. But we just hadn't had like a lot of student athletes that were going to NCAAs, so that just like wasn't our focus. And so like I remember like getting to college, and my first few years I was like progressing pretty rapidly, but then like by my sophomore year I started running into like all of these issues with like illness and some injury and stuff. And so like I was doing really well for A10. Like I won my first A10 championship my freshman year, and like that was huge for the institution because freshmen don't really win A10s. And like our school was a smaller Division I school, so we didn't have like a lot of people competing at that national level and like across all sports. So like we had the lacrosse team would make it to NCAAs most years, and I remember seeing that and being like so inspired by it and hoping that like at one point that I could make it to NCAAs. But I wasn't ever following NCAAs. Like I remember looking up the results or anything for NCAAs, because I didn't really know what it was all about, like until I made it my first time my junior year. Like I made it in the mile, And I remember getting there and being like, whoa, like all these schools rolled up on their buses with like all these athletes. And it was like so intense. And I was like the only one there from my school. Like I was racing in a uniform that was like literally 20 years old. Like it was disgusting. And I just remember getting there and like it was a huge deal for like my campus at the time. But like I didn't, because I had never thought about like me being there, like I wasn't really prepared for it. Like it wasn't like how I prepared for the Olympic trials. It was like, oh, I like woke up one morning and I wound up at like the NCAA championships. And so I got there and I like made the most of it and everything. But I just, it was eye opening to me for sure, because it definitely like opened up a drive in me, like about the sport that I hadn't really had before. Like I had always focused on like the team aspects of the sport. Like I always like would pop off at like A10s, like always do my best at A10s, because I was really fired up by like doing well for my team. And I never like could fire myself up in that way to do well for myself. So like I do well in my races, but like because I knew it was for my team. And so by the time I got to like regionals or NCAAs, it was like confusing to me, because like, oh, I'm here by myself. Like I have to do this all alone. And I didn't feel like the same motivation. So like that definitely took me a while to like get under my belt. Like, you know, this is, you want to compete at this level and you want to make it to this level, but like you also want to make the most of the level once you're there. So like I never at that point, like I really wanted to make it to NCAAs, but I never really thought about going professional. And then I remember like my senior year, I found Team New Balance Boston on Instagram, and Emily Durgan had just joined the team. And I knew Emily Durgan because she ran at UConn and we always ran against UConn. And like, I was like, oh, like Emily Durgan, like she ran different events than I did, but I thought we were like in similar boats. Like we went to New England schools and we didn't ever run against each other or anything, but I thought we were pretty like similar, you know? So I was like, oh, like she went professional. Like, why can't I go professional? But I didn't really know what that meant. I always imagined like being a pro athlete was like, oh, I'd be working full time and being an athlete, because I didn't know anything about like sponsorship or contract or like how any of that stuff worked. So like I thought about it a lot my senior year, and I remember like talking about it with somebody, and they're like, oh, what do you think you'll do after like you're done running? I'm like, oh, what do you mean? Like I want to keep running. Like I feel like I haven't really gotten that chance in my life to focus wholly on the sport and really like get to my highest potential. Like I knew I hadn't been able to do that because of like all the stuff that was going on in my life. And so like, yeah, my fifth year, I definitely considered it more and more. And by the end of my fifth year, like team started to reach out and stuff. And that's when I like started to decide. And I had been pretty good friends with Ellie for a few years at that point. And like Ellie, like had known she was going professional, like was really helpful with filling me in on like how everything works. And her coach was as well from college, like telling me like, oh yeah, like teams offer money, like that's how you like get by. And like I wasn't in any position to get money at the time because I wasn't like as that good or anything. So but I knew like I would have at least the opportunity to still like improve. So that's like all I needed really to like get by. I was like, oh, this is something that you can continue to do and you can continue to improve yourself as an athlete. But yeah, I remember like getting to the pro level and it just being such a huge jump for me. Like I always talk, like when I was talking to recruits in college, like about how it is competing at the college level, I would always tell them like, imagine like every meet is your state championship. And like now when I jumped to the pro level, I was trying to conceptualize it. I'm like, every race is literally like the best race of your life, because you're not racing as often. Like you're preparing so much for these races. Like in college, I was racing like every weekend and I was doing like three races every weekend. And like some races I knew I was going to win by a landslide, like stuff like that. Like I never get that feeling in the professional world. And because I had been used, like my college, like didn't have a lot of money. So we never went to those like huge races. We never went to like Mount SAC or like Texas Relays or any of those things. So I didn't ever get that like level of competition until I went to like NCAAs or something. And obviously by the time I get there, I'm starstruck because I feel like I don't belong there. So like having to accept the fact that every meet is going to be like that in the professional world, like definitely took me a while. Like there was a lot of like waves of up and down. Like I'm sure Mark was like, oh my God, like what did I get myself into? This girl like does not know how to race. But it was just like a big learning experience for me. Like I wasn't coming from like a program that like had all that experience, and I really had to like learn, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's just the definition. You're like the definition of a developmental athlete. It's like, you obviously have the talent that's there. It just maybe took you a little bit longer than other people who had a different college experience. Like, I mean, your college experience versus my college experience are two completely different things. So I couldn't even imagine like going from what you were doing to just jumping to the pro level. Cause I know the people that are like running at the pro level, like that is very intense. So
yes, it was.
So I'm sure your coach understands too what you were dealing with, and he saw your potential at that point. So.
Yeah, and he never like blamed me. He was always like, "It'll come." Like that was really helpful because Mark does an amazing job of like making you believe in yourself. Like he'll like tell you can do something like way before you think you're even capable of doing that, mm-hmm. and. Sometimes like he'll say something, I'm like, all right, okay, whatever. And like, you know, I really just like was like, you know, I just really need to start believing in him because he's right, you know. I just it was hard for me to like wrap my head around it, and took me time to like be able to realize like what it was like to compete at that level and how much I needed to like really work on these little things like being positive and believing in myself and figuring out how to like deal with race anxiety, because like those were all things that I hadn't thought too much about in college because it wasn't my whole life, you know, and now it's like my whole career. So
yeah. And having a coach that believes in you, I feel like at that point is just so crucial, because it's like, if you are doubting yourself, like who is going to lift you up? And if you're not having a coach that's telling you these crazy things that, like that you can go to the Olympics, like it's probably not just going to come from your own brain, you know, if you're already done yourself, like
yeah, not
the starting
at all.
Line. Yeah. So I can only imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really great. Like I give him so much credit for just being so like, yep. You know, he would give me a workout sometimes and like, oh my God, how does he think I'm going to do this workout? And I would just go and do it. And I would be like so shocked afterwards. And he just makes it so nonchalant. And yeah, I think that's like something I definitely really needed, like entering this level, is like somebody who is so level-headed with it all, and it's just like, yep, just go do the work and that's it. And I'm like, okay, I'll do the work and that's it. And now I get to races, I'm like, the work's already done, you know, so like there's nothing more I can do here. And it kind of like makes this a lot more normal in that regard too. Like we're not like crazy like looking up stats and stuff all the time or doing all this stuff, you know, we're pretty normal, and we're like the work's done, like, you know, we'll leave it up to like the race now. So
yeah,
definitely a helpful mindset to have.
Yeah, not having to overthink anything, and just like knowing that your coach believes in you, and he's obviously like a very established coach, so
yes.
Just having that in the back of your mind like definitely keeps you at ease. And then when you're crushing these workouts that you like maybe don't believe in yourself, like that just helps your confidence grow more and more. So
exactly. Yeah. It's all you need sometimes.
Yeah. Just keeping it simple. You don't need to overthink mm-hmm. things. Just do the work and I don't know.
Yeah.
The results follow. If
exactly,
you believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you get a contract right out of college then, or did you have to work at all, or how did that work?
So I actually worked at, as soon as I finished my master's, so my first year pro, I was finishing my master's program. So I was working as a graduate assistant, for like 30 hours a week in Amherst, which is about 2 hours from Boston. So I would drive down to Boston like twice a week at like 5 a.m. to come to practice. And it just became like second nature to me. Like until I didn't have to do that anymore, I didn't realize like how draining that actually was. Cause I'd be like coming, I would drive down at like 5 a.m. cause there was always so much traffic. So I wouldn't get there until like 8:39. Then I would do the workout. Then I would drive back, and then I would work for the rest of the day. And then I would go to classes at night. And,
oh my goodness.
I just, yeah, it was crazy. Like I was like, why was I doing that? And at the time, like I had started training with the team, but I didn't have like a contract or anything. Like I was just training with the team, like seeing how far I could get, how good I could get and everything. So, you know, I'm paying for like all this gas, and like there's definitely a lot of times where I really questioned myself. Like I had a really bad race at one point in the year, and I remember like after the race, I'm like, I was about to graduate and I'm just thinking to myself, like, oh my gosh, like, is this worth it? Like, I've probably spent like thousands of dollars in gas this year. Like, I don't even want to know how much money I spent, like, traveling back and forth. Like, I've had to repair my car a ton. And it was just always, I was always so exhausted because I was just doing so much. But at the same time, like, I remember how excited I was to, like, get up in the morning and go to practice in the morning and, like, crush a workout and, like, see how much I can push my body. So I, like, was exhausted, but at the same time I was really excited about it and, like, knew I wanted to keep doing it. But, like, I definitely got to those, like, points where I was just really questioning myself. So yeah, I graduated in May, and then that's when I started to, like, do really well in the sport. Because I moved to Boston. I was subletting for the summer. I lived with Ellie, and I was working full time at, like, a beer garden that, like, had just opened up in Boston. So I, like, helped start it and everything, which was super fun experience and, like, really good experience for the future as well. You know, like, I don't think I'll ever work at a beer garden again, but I, like, learned what it was like to, like, create community programming and co-manage and do all this stuff. And plus, it was just really fun. It was outside. It was, like, right on the water. And I know the owner really well, and, like, I'm still really close with him and everything. So I did that full time, like, when I first graduated during the summer. And again, that was, like, super draining because you're, like, on your feet all day. And, but I knew I needed to do that because, like, I had no other income source. And, like, I'm always the type of person, like, I don't have financial support coming from anywhere else. Like, I've always been financially independent, like, always had to provide for myself. So I didn't want to get to a position where I was struggling or, like, I would have to go into debt to, like, do the sport. But I was like, I know if I keep working at it and stay focused, like, I'll hopefully earn my way up to that level. And yeah, by the end of the summer, like, I had a few races in Europe, and like, I just started dropping my times like crazy because I didn't have, like, school or anything anymore. Like, I remember, like, my PR going into the summer was like 4:17 in the 1500. I ran, like, a race in Europe, and I ran like 4:10. And then the next race I ran 4:06 and, like, got my first world standard. And, like, you know, those are times that are suitable for, like, getting a contract and everything. And I was finally, like, starting to show this level of improvement that, like, I knew I was capable of doing. I just hadn't quite done it yet because I didn't really know, like, I didn't have the tools to do it quite yet. Like, I didn't have, like, I needed, like, to work on the mental piece of things and everything. And so yeah, by the end of summer, like, I had done my first, like, US championships in the 1500, and I ended up, like, placing 7th, I think. And I was really excited about that. Like, I had a PR in the race, and I just, like, it just made me really excited for the future in the sport because I was finally, like, seeing these improvements and was like, okay, everything I've done, like, up until this point is worth it. And, like, I think this shows that I'm exactly what I'm doing, what I need to be doing. And, like, I am where I need to be. And, like, this is something that I can really continue to improve on. So yeah, I usually, like, now I, like, usually work in the fall. Like, I love doing something extra in the fall just because, like, the fall is the only time of the year that we're not training and traveling and, like, going to camps and everything. So I usually, like, coach in the fall or, like, volunteer in the fall doing something. And that'll help too, like, with, like, income, like, a little extra income source, you know, just to help me feel, like, more financially secure throughout the year. And I, like, also love doing it. Like, I love coaching, like, high school students. It's, like, so fun and refreshing and, really good experience and everything, but yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like it's also the type of thing that you need for your own mental sanity. Yeah. So that you're not so bored for the entire year, at least. Or just, like, exactly. Solely focus on running. I mean, if you've had stuff that you've been focusing on outside of running for your whole life, like, it's a big transition from doing that to, like, doing only running, like, one track mind focus, which also, exactly. I don't think is that healthy in itself. So
no, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, I mean, a lot of athletes are okay with, like, just focusing on running. It's just, like, I've never operated that way because running, I don't think running's ever been my whole life. So like, why would I make it my whole life now? Like, I've been doing great with it out being my whole life. So I'm just like, I would rather do other stuff at the same time, you know? And so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you have a good balance now, and obviously it has shown on the track. So yeah.
I hope so.
What are your goals for Tokyo?
I would really like to make it to the Olympic final. And I definitely think if that all goes right and, like, everything, I'm definitely capable of doing it. But also just like taking the experience as a whole. I mean, it's like my first Olympics and I've never been to the Olympics before. And like, so I know it's going to be a lot different than this year than past Olympics, but because I've never been, like, I don't really know what to expect. So I'm really excited about it. And yeah, I really like hope to make the final and everything and represent the country well.
Yeah. I was so sad to see that, like, they're not allowing spectators now.
I know, none at all. Not even the citizens. So I'm definitely for the best, I guess, because they're in a state of emergency.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does kind of, it is kind of sad for the sport, but at least like everyone would be watching from home anyway.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll have a lot of watch parties and everyone will be rooting for you.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's like, that was the best part about the trials is everyone was sending me videos after of like their families and their friends and like all these watch parties that they were having. And the amount of support that I was receiving was so mind-blowing to me. Like, it was even crazier than the race, to be honest, because I have never in my life like had like felt like I made like an impact on that many people, you know, like so many people were watching that race that I was like, oh my god, like I've never known this many people cared about me. And like, it was, I was just so happy to see that. And like, it was, I just felt honored to like see that all these people like took the time to like watch my race and cheer for me. And like, even though they weren't at the trials, like physically, like I definitely felt the support and everything. And yeah, it was really amazing to like see all the videos and stuff and like brought me to tears, honestly. Cause I was like, wow, like I've never realized like this many people care about me, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
The trials is like so inspirational just from someone like, I mean, I watched the trials this year and it's just so cool to see people accomplish like their lifelong dream. Like I remember, this is random, but I like saw a video of Joe Klecker like hugging his coach or something, or his
Yeah, I saw that.
I literally teared up. I don't know Joe Klecker at all, but I like teared up because I was like, he was like sobbing, and I was like, it's just so like awesome to see people that, because you just know how much it takes to dedicate your life to it and just like see it come true for you and all the other people that made the team. I don't know. It's just like, it's such a cool experience. And I'm sure Tokyo is going to be like so amazing, even if it is a little bit different. Like I can only imagine how much fun that you're going to have. So.
Oh yeah. And I hope like we're able to, like, I don't know if we're going to be able to interact with other athletes or anything. I have no clue. I haven't really heard much about that, but hopefully at like some point, even if it's not in Tokyo, like there's a way for us to like get to know the other athletes and everything and learn more about them and their stories. Like I honestly think the best part about the Olympics is like learning about all these athlete stories. Like even what you were saying with the trials, like there's so many after the trials, like people who made the team, there's so many more stories coming out about like about the third place or the fourth place or the fifth place. And that's like the best part about it all is just learning so much about like these athletes as individuals as a whole and how inspirational it is that now they're competing at this like level of the sport that's like the pinnacle of the sport. Like everyone knows the Olympics and like everyone knows the Olympics, everyone knows like you're an athlete, and like most of these athletes like have gone a lot of their life with being defined as like just the athlete, but then their whole story comes out and you see them as so much more than that. And that's like the best part about it is like that this platform has allowed them to like tell their stories and let the world know about their stories and how they got to where they are, you know?
Yeah. Because everyone has such a different story too. And
yeah,
honestly, that's what I love doing about this podcast is because I mean, yes, I talk to a lot of people I know directly. So it's like, I kind of know their story, but then I talk to people like you who I've never talked to. And I just like get to hear more about like where you came from, which is just so different than other people's like stories. So yeah, I don't know. I like definitely agree with you. Like I love the coverage around this time of year because you just hear about so many more people than the usual like huge names in this sport, you know? Just
yeah,
the people that come out of like nowhere or just like underdogs, I guess. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Like even like the other day I was like on I saw this tweet circulating of what event was she in? I think it was long jump, the third place finisher. And it was like, started from McDonald's. Now I'm here.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I saw that.
Oh my God,
too.
This is such a cool story. Now I like follow her on Instagram. Like she's super funny. And like it's just like all those like little stories that, you know, like you were saying, you don't hear about every day. Like you were saying, the big names, like everyone knows their story by now. And I found it really exciting to like learn about all these other athletes' stories and how they got to be where they are and how much they've overcome and worked so much to be in this position. And because, you know, like those are the stories that are like lifting other people up that might be in high school or middle school or even like normal people who just like need an inspirational story like for the day to talk about and get excited about like what they're doing in their lives. And so yeah, it's really great. It's like definitely a cool time of year. It's a cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah. I mean, you're definitely a part of it. Like just hearing your story, I think it's really inspiring to a lot of people. And it's not like the usual one that you're hearing from like these top level athletes. So it's super cool just to get your perspective on everything and see all of your success. And I'm sure you're young, so you have much more of a career to go, but I'm sure everyone's going to be rooting for you in Tokyo. It's going to be super fun to watch.
Oh, thanks, Ella.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Okay. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do like, we got some listener questions.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Pretty funny.
I can't wait. My friends were like, oh yeah, I submitted questions. I was like, oh Lord.
There was a lot of questions, I will say. So we definitely won't get to all of them.
Yeah.
But maybe some of them will be in here. Okay. Yeah. A common question was favorite Boston running route.
Favorite Boston running route. Ooh, that's a really good question. I actually have two, I would say. Like, I really like running on the Charles. I know that's pretty cliche, but I don't get to run on the Charles that often because we usually leave Boston a lot to run. So like the days that I got to run on my own and run from my house and I do like a loop around the Charles, I really like that. Just because I love the Boston skyline. Like I grew up near the city and my dad worked in the city when I was younger and everything. So it's always had this really special meaning to me. And it's like my favorite view in the world. So around the Charles for sure. But I also, there's this running route that we do a lot in Somerville, Cambridge area. And it goes like up into Winchester and like Arlington and stuff around the Finger Lakes. And that's like one of my favorites as well, because I'm a big loop person. Like we do a lot of out and backs and I hate out and backs, but I love
out and backs.
Really? I absolutely hate them. Like I'd much rather go for like an undisclosed amount of time, like on a loop or something, than I would to go like 60 minutes on an out and back. Like I hate them. So like I like this route a lot because it's a loop. I don't really know how we start at Thorndike Park, and I think that's in Arlington, and there's like, it's like a mix of trails, bike path, and then just regular streets, and goes around the lake and everything. And yeah, I really like that route as well.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know, I honestly don't know anything about Boston, so this yeah. is all new for me, but hopefully
I know you'll have to come down sometime so we can show you.
I know I've been there one time, but I know what the Charles is. I ran along yeah. there, but that's the extent of my Boston knowledge.
Now you're an East Coast gal, so
yeah, I know Boston's not too far away, so I'll have to make my yeah. way out there again. What is your favorite pre and post race meal?
Pre and post race meal. Ooh, that's a good question. Pre, I would say I don't really like eat a ton like pre-race, Like the night before, I don't even know. Like I eat something different every time, so I never figure out on that. But like in the morning, I like to eat just like simple, like eggs and toast with jam and like coffee. Just really like it. And like I have that most days anyway. And I toast and jam. I don't know why. It's just like so good to me. So I get kind of excited about it because I feel like sometimes you go to these like really great hotels and they have really awesome jam.
Exquisite jam.
Yeah. And then post race, I'm a big like post race like burger gal.
Love that's a common answer.
Yeah, like burger and a beer definitely hits different.
Yeah. Good answer. Do you have any role models?
Role models.
Yeah.
I have like a few role models for sure. I mean, like my ones that I've had my whole life, like my mom, do you know what Big Sister Little Sister Association is?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. So it's like an organization that sets you up with a big sister, and like they're not a real big sister, but they like take you out and like bring you on trips and stuff, and you can go to the beach and like do activities together. It's like kind of like a surrogate big sister type of deal. And I've had a big sister since I was 8, which I'm so thankful for. Like my mom was a single mom, and she thought it was really important to like get us like girls big sisters, and I absolutely adore my big sister, and she's a huge role model to me. And like she's a lot older than me, but it always feels like we're close in age, and I always like call her about whatever issues, like especially like relationship issues. She's like known it all, so she's such a great person to go to and just be like, oh, let me tell you this, or like stuff like that. So she's a huge role model for me. And then my coach from college is like a second mom to me as well, so I absolutely adore her, Coach Julie. And then like running role models, like my teammates are role models to me. I've learned so much from them, and honestly, like I feel like I make a lot of people my role models, because I'll like travel to a meet or something and stay with some like random girl from this random place, and I always like learn something every time. And that's like my favorite part about like going to these meets, is like staying with these random people and like learning all these like cool things about them and how they are better themselves for the sport, and like tips and tricks I could take from them. But yeah, definitely like my teammates. And like I always looked up to like Shalane Flanagan and like Emma Coburn and Corey McGee. I like always looked up to her, so it's so awesome to like see them at all these meets now, because like these are people that I didn't really follow a ton of professional track and field athletes in college, like especially not towards the end, but like towards the end those are people I like really followed. So yeah.
Yeah, it's so cool, you have such a fresh perspective on running. I love it. It's not that different, I guess, than like other people, but I just feel like you're so humble, and it's so cool to see like someone that is going to the Olympics to be so humble. It's awesome. So
thanks.
Yeah. Okay, someone asked about the Venmo coffee situation, because I know like I think it was Chris Chavez was telling people to Venmo you for coffee or something.
So my Venmo is Heather-McLean. Basically I like it. This is right after the trials.
Yeah.
But I like went to the Tracksmith house to like see Dana, because Dana's my roommate. She's like my best friend. And I was obviously like, she's like the first person I wanted to go see because she was out at the trial. So I ran over to her house like after I was done with drug testing and stuff. And they were like, let's record a podcast. And I'm like, great idea. And so like, I'm obviously super hyped. So I re-listened to the podcast and I was like, oh my God, like, what was I saying?
Don't ever do that. Don't ever re-listen to podcasts, because you're going to find everything that was wrong with it. But I'm sure it was great.
Yeah.
I'm sure people love that perspective.
I was just super like hyped the whole time, because I was like, I know I was just like so excited to be like a part of their podcast and everything. And at the end of it, like we were just joking, I like dropped my Venmo name, like not thinking anything of it, and like I'm still getting Venmo.
There you go. That's called passive income, baby.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I donated most of the money, so I was like, I'm like now still getting all of it. I'm like, I do not need this like money. But I mean, it was really nice to like see all these people, like they're like, we loved your podcast and stuff. I'm like, oh, really? Like, you liked me?
It's so cool to see that perspective. Like, it's not something that you get that often. I mean, the fact that you ran over and did a podcast right after.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun to do. I'm like, I thought it was like really good experience, because it got me, like, I re-listened to it and I was like, dang, I was like fresh off of this like race and everything. And I could, it's like nice to like re-listen to like my emotions that were happening like during the time. But at the same time, I definitely didn't process anything. I was just like so hype. So
No, that'll be so fun to look back on in like a couple of years, just to
Like relive the experience and everything. And it was a really fun time. Like Chris and Kyle are great. And like, I really loved the coverage that they were doing the whole trial. So
yeah, you guys are going to have to go listen to Dana's episode. I haven't listened to it yet, but now I'm definitely intrigued.
Oh yeah.
Okay. What is your Dunkin' order of choice?
Oh, okay. Right now it's a medium iced cold brew with a shot of blueberry and oat milk, but I also butter pecan just came back and it's like kind of hit. So I'm a really good seasonal gal. Like I always get the seasonal flavor. So I'm like been getting butter pecan a lot lately. But yeah, that's my order.
I'm not the biggest Dunkin' fan. I'm going to say, I would say not a Dunkin' fan at all. And I'm a Starbucks fan. So we can feud about it, but,
blame you. You are a West Coast gal, but
yeah. So it's like, I didn't grow up on Dunkin', and the only times I've had it, it's been like watery and not good. So, but I need to immerse myself more because I've completely written it off. Like I don't even consider it anymore, but
you need to try again. West Coast Dunkin' is way different than East Coast Dunkin'. West Coast doesn't do it as well. I swear.
Okay. Yeah. I literally am going to go to Dunkin' tomorrow and get this order just to give it a taste test. someone said that they know you well, asked what is your, but they said that you wouldn't like this question. What is your coffee choice when Dunkin's is not an option?
Oh my gosh, actually I really like diner coffee. Like I think one of my favorite things in the world is going out to breakfast. And so like obviously running really interferes with that because we run in the morning, and then like by the time like breakfast time, like I'm like, ugh, well I'm just gonna like make something at home. But my days off, like I always go out to breakfast. Like I love going out to breakfast and getting like unlimited hot coffee at like a diner. I don't know what is so special about it to me, but it's just, I feel like I'm like the main character, you know? Like they're like, oh, would you like some more coffee? I'm like, yes, absolutely. Like, I'll spend a diner just sitting there drinking the hot coffee, and it's always so good and strong and everything. So yeah, definitely diner coffee is like my second choice. But I mean, there are a lot of really great coffee shops in Boston that I try to go to, you know, to support local business.
But the diner always just draws you back in.
Yeah, the diner and Dunk's like just hit different sometimes, you know. Like it's nice to feel like you're part of a movie.
Yeah, it is. You want to feel like the main character, so you have to do what it takes. And going to the diner and sitting there for hours is what it takes. So
yeah.
Okay, got multiple questions about, ask her about the Shrek party.
Oh, all right. So basically,
you have to readjust your sitting position. It's a story.
So yeah, essentially, I've been planning the Shrek party for like almost a year now.
Okay.
So it's going to be a Shrek / birthday party. So it's like my birthday is August 31st. And so this will be after obviously the Olympics. And it's going to be like a celebration for my birthday, but we also want it to be Shrek themed because, you know, like Shrek is the most amazing movie of all time.
Okay.
We're only going to be playing the Shrek soundtrack. You can only come into the party if you're dressed like a character from Shrek. And then we're going to have like mud wrestling and stuff in the backyard. And at the same time, like all the drinks are going to be Shrek themed. And at midnight, everyone turns into an ogre.
Wow.
We're just going to like start spraying green paint everywhere. It's going to be a whole thing. You're obviously invited.
Wow. Thank you. I was just brainstorming. I was like, should it be Lord Farquaad? Like, what's...
Pick what you would like. I'm going to be the fairy godmother. I'm still looking for a Prince Charming for a son. So if anybody wants to fill that position, you can feel free to message me on Instagram.
Okay.
We're inviting a wide range of individuals to this party. So like, it's not going to be just track people. Like I said, growing up, I was pretty much a drifter. So don't worry. This will be like a very on-brand party. Like you'll have a lot of socializing with all different kinds of people. And I think it'll be great.
This is going to be the next Project X. But it's going to be Project Shrek.
Yeah, Project Shrek. Oh my God, that should definitely be the name.
Yeah, there you go. That's dangerous to advertise this to like everyone.
Asses, everyone's going to be showing up at my house and be like, oh gosh.
I heard about this from Combos Over Cold Brew.
Yeah, the old lady next door is going to be like, what the hell?
Okay, well, it's going to be lit. I'm going to show up for sure. I need to get my Farquaad costume.
Yes.
Okay, this is the last question I have for you because I've asked you a lot of questions. What is your advice to your younger self?
Oh, advice to my younger self. Oh, this is a hard question. I would definitely say, don't be afraid to ask questions and live in the moment more. Like, I think I went through a lot of my life not being present because I just had like a lot going on. Like, I was always focused on the next thing. And, I think back on it now, I'm like, I don't need, like, my sisters or like my brothers will like tell me a story of something that happened, like that I don't remember. And I'm like, how could I not remember that? And I think it was just because I was like constantly just like floating through life. And like now lately I've made it like a huge point to like kind of reflect and on my day and like the great things that happened during the day and like the things that I'm grateful for and the things that I look forward to the next day. And it's just something I didn't do as much as when I was younger. So I feel like I didn't take it all in. I mean, I was like, just had a lot going on and everything. So yeah, definitely like take in every moment and don't be afraid to ask for help and everything. People are willing to help and you just got to ask.
Yeah. I think being present is so important. Like, that's definitely something I dealt with too. Like, I look back now, I was like, I was always just focused on what's next. Like high school was like, oh, I can't wait for college. College was like, oh, I can't wait for post-college. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what my 5-year plan is, but.
Yeah. So nice to like, just like wake up and enjoy what you're doing like in the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Well, I loved this episode. I'm sure a lot of people did too. And they learned a lot about you. I did.
And I'm like finally getting to talk to you because I feel like I've like followed you and stuff for a while and I've listened to some of your other podcasts and everything. And I was so excited when you asked. So
yeah, I love this podcast because I get to meet everyone. And I like, it's not just like a, hey, how are you? Like a passing by at a party or something. It's like an actual like full in-depth conversation where I like actually get to know who the person is.
Exactly. So. And now you're the Shrek party. So
yeah. And I got invited to the Shrek party. Like life couldn't be any better today.
Also, side note, this is gonna be super random, but you're from like Southern California, right?
Yeah.
So my dad, he passed away a few years ago, but most of the rest of my life he lived in Encinitas.
Wait, that's where I'm from.
You're from Encinitas?
I'm from like Carlsbad, but like I spent all my time in Encinitas.
Okay. I knew you were from around there, but I didn't know exactly from where. Moonlight Beach is like my favorite beach in the whole wide world. Yeah, so my dad lived in Encinitas and I went to visit him one year, like before he passed away for Thanksgiving, and I did a turkey trot and it was like the Encinitas like turkey trot or whatever. And it's the only race he actually ever saw me race because he was on the West Coast. So he like never got to see any of my races. So it's the only race he ever went to. So it was really special to me, obviously. But you were in the race, I'm pretty sure, because I remember seeing a girl who was blonde and you were wearing an Oregon shirt during the race. Like I only remember this so vividly because it was such a special race to me. And I was like, cause I remember, you know, every time you go into like a local 5K or something, like
if you're
like
looking around, you're like,
D1, you're like sizing people up. You're like, ooh, can that like old guy beat me? Like, what do you think his kick is like? And I remember you were like the only other person there who like actually looked like you like could run. And, I'm almost positive I like looked back like years later and was like, oh my God, yeah, she was in the race. And, like, obviously I knew like about you, like the past few years, cause like all my friends know who you are and I've followed your Instagram account and stuff. And I just thought that was like really cool. So I had to tell you.
So
it sounds a little creepy.
No, that's not creepy at all. It's just such a coincidence. And it also just proves, I say this like all the time, I'm like, running world is way too small. Like everyone knows everyone. And then this just proves even more like you coming to Encinitas, like what are so the random odds, you know?
Like I think I ran it in like the shirt that they gave me. So like the picture of me finishing, it was awful. Like my dad took it and I had like the shirt on. It was like it was a white t-shirt with like the turkey on it and it was too long for me. So it just like looked like I was wearing no pants.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so random. I also don't know why I ran the turkey trot that year because I don't think I never ran another turkey trot. I don't know what I was doing, but that is really just funny and ironic.
What a coincidence. right?
Yeah. So we've already crossed paths before, but
I know.
Now we're actually meeting face to face after our iconic turkey trot meetup that we didn't even know about.
Yeah, I'm like, did you remember me there? You're like, no.
I barely even remember. I don't think I even raced. I think I just ran for fun. I don't really remember. Like I said, like, hey, same. I'm never present in the moment. I'm always looking ahead. So I don't, forgot that I even ran one back then. So. Good. Okay, well, where can people follow you at if they don't already follow you?
Oh, you can follow my Instagram, Heather. Or what's my Instagram? Heather_McLean31. You can follow my Venmo, Heather-McLean. Or my Twitter. I have a Twitter. I'm sometimes funny on there. Like a tweet will just like come to me in the night and like I have to tweet it the next morning. But I usually tweet the year. So
I'm that's like Twitter vibes.
Yeah. Like I always tell people my Twitter is my 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. app. Like if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm on Twitter from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. like cracking up because it's like counterculture to Instagram. So yeah, I forgot what my Twitter name is, but you can just search my name and I'm sure it'll pop up.
Yeah, there you go. Sweet. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I like really appreciate it. And I got something out of this episode. I'm sure everyone listening did too. And we're all rooting for you in Tokyo. It'll be so fun to watch. So,
well, thank you. Yeah. I had a really good time. Thanks for having me.
Of course. To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Combos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. I love talking to Heather. Honestly, your story was really inspiring and it's definitely a unique one that you don't necessarily hear all the time. So this was definitely one of the most motivating episodes I've recorded. So I hope you guys felt the same way. And we're all going to be rooting for Heather in the Olympics. That's so awesome. Make sure to follow at Combos Over Cold Brew Pod on Instagram if you want to be up to date on the latest episodes or submit listener questions. And don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you guys so much again for listening. And I'll hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.